ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Yeah, you don't know what exactly Caleb Williams is being told or what they're going to do when they come in the game. But, you know, do you say, hey, we're going to take our shot, give him a chance. But there was no chance that this ball, you know, you got two defenders and they were there the whole time. And, you know, okay, you give Odunze an opportunity to go up and make a play, and that's fine. Take the sure thing, especially there on second down.
I saw you said somewhere today that you caught a little bit of the TV copy of the second half. Did the tone of coming from the color analyst there surprise you?
Maybe I just had it on mute.
It sounded like you heard some of what they said.
No. Listen, you want respect in this league, you got to go earn it. And so that's where we're at right now. We need to go earn that respect from not only the rest of the teams in the NFL, but everybody. So that's where we are.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
That was the Monday night call from the Commanders game, a little bit of it, from Troy Aikman. And then Ben Johnson on his Zoom on Tuesday after that game, kind of being a little funny, a little passive-aggressive, but a little acknowledging the things like, well, I had it on mute, ha, ha, ha.
And he was also on a podcast prior to that as well, where he made more direct reference
yes.
to kind of sounding offended by what he heard, walking through the kitchen, his kids are saying something about it or had
right.
it on or something.
Right.
So he directly addressed it and then kind of backed off a little bit, but not completely with the Bears media.
There's a reason we're bringing this news from last week back, and that's because Troy Aikman has responded to all the Caleb backlash on the Dallas radio station, The Ticket. And we're going to play that for you in a minute or two. But I haven't had a chance to talk about this with you, Anthony Herron, who is both a game analyst and a former NFL player. There was a large volume of Troy Aikman criticism, or critique, I should say,
sure.
of the quarterback play. Was there anything to your memory that you felt like, oh boy, that was a little bit harsher than necessary, or a little bit unfair to Caleb when he was being more fair to Jaden Daniels? In your mind, what did you end up walking away thinking?
I mean, without any knowledge during the TV broadcast on Monday Night Football of, you know, some perhaps perceived snub from one party or the other about them not connecting on the phone during the week, but just during the game. Yeah, I mean, you know, Troy Aikman, I would say, as the analyst, was he had critiques or criticisms of each quarterback at certain points. He was probably more forgiving of Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels has accomplished a bit more in his career, and I think that part is probably to a certain degree natural. The only thing that I heard Aikman say that made me wince a little bit was on the out route or the arc release to DeAndre Swift that went for whatever, like a 55-yard touchdown. And Aikman used the word lucky. That, yeah, I could see specifically that word taking exception to that. And
was that more a shot at Caleb or a shot at Scheme, or like basically saying this was not like
the situation for the Bears? I didn't even take it as him directly saying that Caleb is a lucky quarterback for coming out with that or something, but that the Bears as a team, that was a lucky result for the Bears, which in that scenario where you complete a pass to a back, you've, you know, whatever's happened with the coverage, and DeAndre Swift makes an excellent run after the catch that turns into an explosive touchdown, and the Bears lead the National Football League in explosive plays. Part of it, Caleb deserves credit. Part of it, Ben Johnson deserves credit. Part of it, the guys catching and running with the football deserves credit for those things as well. So to call that result lucky, even though the play isn't designed to end up as a 50-plus yard touchdown, but the Bears made a play. So that was probably the one moment that stuck out. I said, that's not the best choice of words that we could have used there.
Understood. There was some stuff late when Jaden had messed up and fumbled, flat out fumbled, in a crucial moment. I think he could have been a little harsher on Jaden for the fumble, or at least acknowledged that, you know, because earlier in the game, the one thing looking back, earlier in the game when a snap went off Caleb's hands, even though it was a wild snap a little bit, he said, Caleb's got to make that play. So I understand that those two things looking next to each other felt a little funky.
And there was also even for, you know, Troy Aikman's friend, former teammate Moose Johnson, similar scenario happened in the game Sunday that Moose was calling, where there was an errant snap from Dahlman and Caleb kind of flails out to get the football with one hand and is able to recover it. And then I'm forgetting who was calling the game with Moose, but he's broadcast.
Kevin Kugler.
Yeah. So Coogs says, you know, basically sort of gives Caleb a little grace on how the ball ends up on the ground. And Moose kind of, you know, directly shot in like, well, that's an excuse, which, okay, it's kind of an excuse, but the ball's way out to the side. Look, he has to field it with one hand.
Some of this is just football conversation. And yeah. I thought that the dominant portion of everything Aikman had to say that night was good quarterback critique and was useful stuff. As we are dissecting a young quarterback, and irrespective of wins and losses, we're talking about this young quarterback developing and what he needs to work on. We're trying to get inside the process, and Troy had met with Ben Johnson and was clearly inside the process. And, you know, during the course of the night, you know, whatever, like, you know, Caleb did a lot of good things, but there were some issues there too. It was a mixed bag. But anyway, I thought largely it was just Troy critiquing quarterbacking, and I'd rather have an analyst be honest and tell me what they're critiquing and what they're seeing. So anyway, there was a lot of backlash about it, and finally Troy Aikman had a chance to discuss it on The Ticket, and that was, is it this morning or yesterday afternoon?
I think it was late Friday.
Was it all the way back to late Friday?
Yeah.
And we're just now catching wind of it. I haven't.
Well, they don't kill it with the socials like we do at this station.
No,
there we go.
They really don't.
They don't use socials barely at all.
They don't. No, yeah, we dominate the socials.
Like this, like some things you won't have to like go and search for, but some things are on. You know, you have to dig through podcast links to find. You know what I mean?
Wow. So. Yeah. Well, at least we did the digging. So let's hear this, and I'll hear it with you for the first time. Troy Aikman on The Ticket responding to the Caleb Williams backlash.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I haven't gone back and watched the broadcast, but, you know, over the years, I guess you do a game on live television for 3.5 hours, and there's times when I've walked out of the stadium thinking, you know, man, could I have said that maybe a little bit differently, or was I a little bit too hard on this particular player? But Monday night wasn't one of those, and so I was kind of caught off guard Tuesday night. When I first heard about it, I'm still not real sure exactly what it's all about, but, you know, it just is, it's part of the job and it comes with it. And, you know, I accept that certainly. I mean, I've been doing this a long time and understand what comes with it. So it's just kind of part of it. And then after this week, everyone kind of moves on to something else. But yeah, so it's, you never quite know what, you know, people are motivated for different reasons. So however it got initiated, I'm not real sure. It's not something that I really lose much sleep over.
Does, and we're talking about Caleb Williams, there's been some word out of Chicago that the fan base, even the head coach mentioned that, I guess announcers don't like the way we win. I watched the game on it, and I didn't get that from you, and personally, I've been very skeptical of him, but it looks to me like he's starting to maybe figure this thing out.
Yeah, I think so. It's I like Caleb Williams. I'm a fan of his. I like the way he plays. I think that what I've seen of him in Chicago, I mean, I'm certainly a big fan of Ben Johnson's and the things that he does offensively. We've talked about that over the years. And, so Caleb is used to doing it one way, and now he's kind of being asked to do it a little bit differently. And so I've seen a guy who very easily could have just said, no, this is the way I play, and not really want to be quite as structured as what Ben's offense requires. But yet, you know, he's jumped in it and he's done a nice job. And you've seen kind of as he's gotten more and more comfortable with what he's being asked to do. You still see he's so great at being able to create plays with his legs that I think he kind of fights that urge to do that because he's trying to play within the structure of the offense. But I think as he gets more and more reps, as he gets more and more games under his belt within this system, it's only going to continue to be better and better. But I really like, and it's early. I mean, it's an early sample, but I really do like what Ben Johnson has done. It's a big job that he's taken on and some of the struggles that Chicago has had over the years. But I do think they're on their way. And I think that as long as Caleb continues to buy into what they're doing offensively, I think the sky's the limit.
All right. So that's Troy Aikman not taking any shots or not being upset about the backlash or whatever, saying it's just kind of part of it. What are you thinking as you hear that, you game analyst, you?
I mean, you've obviously called baseball games at this point. I've called a bunch of football games.
But I don't critique when I'm doing baseball games. I critique here, you know, and sometimes there'll be a little backlash on that.
Maybe you should.
You know what?
You add that to your repertoire.
Yeah, it's like,
I'd be all for it.
Here's a fly ball to Hap, who hasn't had a hit in ever. But he makes the catch, and that's good as well.
Nico Horner, who's so amazing all the time, and we love him so much. Uh-huh. And that's a fly ball.
Lucky hit from Nico Horner.
Here's Jameson Taillon, who drinks a lot of coffee, has been hurt sometimes. Maybe if he wasn't drinking that coffee, you know what I'm saying, Coom? What are your thoughts? Just create a whole new plan.
I'm sure Coom would love that.
Yeah.
No, I think in the end, the ability to... the ability to kind of describe what you're seeing, what worked, why it didn't work, or why it did work. That's kind of the gig as an analyst. And I feel like there's certainly words occasionally that you're like, I could have used a different phrase there, a different word. And I would imagine if Troy went back and the word lucky, like I mentioned, that was the one thing that stood out to me to describe that as lucky as a team made a play. Even if they weren't thinking 50-plus yard touchdown there, that's just kind of the tone of lucky. Just I found that particular word in that moment off-putting. Aside from that, it was just kind of standard analysis.
It's such an interesting thing because, like, we see what the issues are with Caleb, and he had a bad week this past week, and so.
Sunday was his worst game.
Sunday was his worst game, and we spent some time talking about that at the beginning of the show. I thought some really interesting conversation about how Caleb was greedy and how he was trying to make big plays happen in a game and a matchup and some moments where he didn't necessarily need to do that each time. Could have just run for some yards and keep those sticks
or
moving.
Hit the check down as much as anything. Yeah. I like that he's trying to throttle back some of the running and the improvisation, but checkdown was there, and he started getting to it more to Kyle Manungai in the second half. Just, I don't like what I'm seeing at the second and third level. Check it down to the back and just take your profit. Keep the chains moving.
It's fascinating because, like, being a quarterback is so freaking difficult, and those decisions that we're talking about, there's a series of them in every game. And one might be, a reaction to God knows what. It's interesting. A texter had pointed out yesterday, you remember that play against the Commanders where Caleb did scramble for, I believe it was a first down, or at least he got some yards, but the all-22, or even just the shot from behind the pocket, showed that Rome Odunze was wide open down the field and gotten behind his guy. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, and so that was 2 weeks ago, right? Or three weeks ago before the bye. Uh-huh. If you're Caleb and you see that in film and you're a young quarterback, can't you see how that, like, I can understand even just from that on a week-to-week basis, that might make you go, you know what? Next time, instead of running, I'm going to give myself a chance to find some of this stuff.
If I hang in there for another moment, my guy's going to declare himself open. And that's the subtle nuance for such great quarterback play in, are you needing to wait to see it declare open? Are you throwing the guy open? Are you anticipating that that window's going to appear as you just get a better sense for all these things?
And
throwing the ball with trust, as opposed to needing to be completely confident that it's declared open before you let it rip.
Right. So, but I can understand, like, you might even take the good, honest feedback of your coach from week to week and mix that with whatever your level of confidence is in the matchup and whatever. Like, it's just freaking humans.
Difficult. It's just a really tough position to play well and to do it consistently.
Texter points out that when I do play-by-play, I don't critique. I just kill people. I just, like, I tell them
he's going to be dead.
Yeah, I just do that. You know? I mean, that's a little harsh, a little unfortunate to do that. Another texture says, Speegs, your play-by-play heel turn would be must-watch TV, must-listen radio. There's a fly ball out to Kyle Tucker. I have no idea how he got a gold glove in Houston. Maybe that was an easier outfield because he's looked average here. He makes the catch.
And the Dodgers are out of the inning.
Oh, man. That just got sad. He's going to go to the freaking Dodgers, isn't he? Where's he going to play? Is Teoscar still under contract out there in right field?
We're done with Wu King Tuck, is that right?
Yeah, that's done. Okay. That's over. Yeah, that was ill-advised, I'll be honest. I should have listened to Lawrence Holmes. But I don't listen to him that much. We established this yesterday, right here in this very time slot. We established that I don't listen to him, and he also sometimes doesn't listen to me. It's just the nature of a partnership.
We're talking at each other for 4 hours every weekday.
We're talking at Tanny and Alex, not even making eye contact. That's just good radio, mister. No, we're not. Lawrence is going to be so happy tomorrow when we see him. He is teaching a seminar, or he maybe taught the seminar at the University of Chicago. I mean, this is a man, it'd be like me singing opera because that's what my mom did.
Okay.
You know, like Lawrence is getting to really, like, truly educate the masses. Uh-huh. I mean, like, he is a professor anyway.
Oh, dig yourself.
He's going to be digging himself. Absolutely.
You guys are going to get to talk to Horace F. Grant tomorrow.
Right around this time.
Oh, man.
5:25 tomorrow. Will he be wearing the goggles, you
I
think?
Hope so. If he's not, I'm going to be really disappointed. I'm going to watch on Twitch just in case.
Will he be with the models from Cherry Magazine back in the day, you think?
One of my many nicknames at Bolingbrook High School.
What's
Horace.
That?
Horace. I had the Why'd Rex Spectacles. Why'd they
call you? Oh, you did?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really wearing contact lenses much yet at that point. I was, you know, hooping in high school, and I had my prescription goggles that I was wearing. Folks started calling me Horace.
Man.
You know, Bulls were in their heyday still. Now, Horace, I don't even think was with the Bulls anymore by then, but, you know, didn't matter. It was the nickname that was there.
Yeah. Horace, an unbelievable career. You know, got to the finals with Orlando, right? And then won championships with the Lakers. Do I have that right?
Really?
Or just just get there again with the Lakers?
But how did Horace have bad eyesight and Harvey didn't? That doesn't make sense. They're twins.
Yeah, but they're not identical twins.
Yes, they are. I don't believe them.
I believe they are.
I mean,
they
look the same.
I believe they are fraternal twins.
They look exactly the same. Well, they have to be identical twins.
I'll ask this tomorrow.
Please do.
Won't I? You know?
Because Horace looks like Harvey. Harvey looks like Horace. They presumably came out of the same womb on the same date. I think that makes them identical twins.
No, you could be fraternal and be born at the same time.
But what if you look the same? Because that's what they did. They decided to look the same. That makes them identical twins because they're identical.
I understand what you're saying.
Like, that's the definition. There's something you're not grasping.
No.
Here.
You can... What the hell's going on out here? That's a good question. It's a good question, Vince.
I'm very offended by you saying they're not identical.
No, you can be twins that look sort of similar.
They don't look sort of similar. They look identical.
One of them
identical.
One of them wears goggles.
That was my cousin Vinny.
One of them does not.
Identical.
He did win one championship with the Lakers. Okay.
Yep.
Beating the Iverson Sixers. So
Allen's twin brother. Yvonne Iverson was on that team.
Yeah, it's his fraternal twin. Yeah. All right. Alex, have you figured out whether they're identical or fraternal twins yet? For God's sakes.
Just look at them.
The AI at the top of Google says identical.
Oh, really?
But I'm not going Horace, with that.
Look at
or
Harvey.
Wikipedia.
Mm. I mean, all right, the Grant Rich, brothers were identical average. Twins.
I know they were. How dare you, sir? How dare
Sorry,
you?
I'm challenging your twin knowledge.
My Bulls of the 90s twin knowledge.
Yeah, sorry.
Exact.
That's my bad. I feel chastised.
What is your scientific proof? They look exactly the same. Yeah, okay. They're identical.
Yeah. Don't challenge Ant on any twin science. Got it.
Specific to the Bulls of the 90s.
All right. John Morosi will join us next on The Score.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Hey, John Boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
JP can provide some clarity as to what went on. JP.
Bob, I will do my best.
Columnist for MLB.com.
Morosi. Where is Jeff Passan in all of this?
Here's John Morosi.
Where is Jeff Passan?
Should we just call Jeff Passan right now?
Yes, just call him.
Fox Sports baseball contributor.
JP Morosi had it first. How you feeling, Padres fans?
MLB Network insider.
Josh Snyder, the manager of the American League Champions. How does that sound?
That sounds amazing. You know, it's one thing to say that's what the goal is, right? It always is, but to watch this group of guys go do that after losing 2 here at home, it's special for me, and even more special that I get to do it with this group.
2 words, George Springer.
I don't know what else to say. Bottom of our lineup, getting the job done. There's not another person in the world I want up in that moment other than George Springer in October. I've never heard a building as loud as I heard it right there.
John Morosi.
I'm so happy, I can't lie to you. It's the best moment of my life. All the fans who are here supporting me means the world.
With Spiegel and Holmes.
Sources confirm that fun.
On 670 The Score.
Man, that's amazing. When you get to be at something like that, What a powerful, powerful moment that must have been. Let's find out. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. Lawrence is off today. Anthony Herron is in with me, Matt Spiegel. And that man, John Morosi of MLB Network, joins us right now on 670 The Score. John, you've been at a lot of great games for a lot of amazing moments. Where does that rank for you, the way that that place exploded when George Springer hit the 3-run go-ahead home run?
Speaks and Anthony, good evening. It's up there. Top 5 for me in my life covering sports. I would say quite comfortably. Just because of the unexpected nature of that particular swing. Expected, obviously, in the sense that you're talking about someone who's been a World Series champion. And as you heard John Schneider tell me, someone who has a pretty robust track record in October to where he's one of the all-time leaders in postseason home runs. So in that respect, it was not surprising, But given the way that the game had started, given the deficit the Jays faced, how late it was to go from despair and a little bit of quiet in that ballpark in the middle of the game to one of the loudest ovations I have ever heard in my life. It was a fairly stark change. I think it was noted, I can't recall who mentioned this on Baseball Reference. And again, sometimes the analytics, it's interesting how sometimes the analytics actually support what our eyes told us. And they had that as, I believe, the highest win probability added of any single event in the history of the League Championship Series, meaning the greatest swing in who was expected to win based on a single swing of the bat was George Springer last night in the entire history, NLCS, ALCS, all the years since the late 60s. Remarkable. And so to be there, understanding too the history, no matter what, one team was going to be in the World Series for at least the first time in a generation. Of course, the Jays' last trip was 93. The Mariners' last trip was never. And so there was a lot at stake there historically. And to see Springer, what added the layers to it was, of course, he had been hit by the pitch on Friday. He had been booed in Seattle and jeered in the way in which he was treated there on the road. For him to come back and answer in that fashion and have the game winning, series winning, pennant winning homer in front of one of the largest and loudest crowds I've ever heard, it was quite a moment.
You know, I admire Jerry DePoto and his aggressiveness quite a bit, and he had a hell of a trade deadline with Suarez and Naylor and two relievers that mattered quite a bit. And the Jays had a great deadline when you look at Shane Bieber, who gets to start for them twice in the ALCS. Is there a copycat lesson to learn from Toronto's success? Their offense improved a great deal this year, but it's largely the same batch of offensive players. The guy they got, Santander, didn't really do much. What's the copycat lesson of the Blue Jays, if there is one?
It's an excellent point, Spiegs. There's a couple things. Number one, they hired a very impactful hitting coach in David Popkins. So even though the personnel is not appreciably different, the manner in which they've instructed that group has been different. And also, from a leadership standpoint, a lot of the other coaches are the same. Schneider, Mattingly, Walker, some of the staff there. And it was interesting to hear John Schneider say during the course of the ALCS that he felt like they had to learn how to communicate better and in a different way, which to me was interesting. That sometimes I think in sports, executives or maybe fan conversation around a particular team says, oh, this coach is a bad communicator, this manager is a bad communicator, we got to change everything out. No. And in fact, the Jays made some adjustments to the staff, but they kept a lot of people. And they just said, listen, we need to find a way to do this better. And meanwhile, it helps when you've got a superstar, someone who might be a Hall of Famer one day, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. signing the contract and really settling in nicely. I think that was something we heard a lot as well, that they felt as though Guerrero, after signing the deal, and sometimes a player signs a mega deal and he presses a little bit and you don't quite get the same impact, or he's just never the same player. I certainly think it'll be interesting to see how Kyle Tucker's free agency unfolds for the Cubs. But I think in the case of Vlad, to a man, the people around him, they all say he's been a different and better version. You saw how engaging he was. I interviewed Vlad on a number of occasions, and I found him to be very, very approachable, very engaging. Obviously, he spent a lot of time working on his English. Again, that's a big step for him. And I think something that he should be applauded for, to be able to communicate. Obviously, he's playing now in a bilingual country, and it's important for him to be able to, I think, speak to the people there. And he's, to his credit, been able to do that. So it was pretty amazing to see a young ascendant player in Vlad's case at the peak of his powers. And you're right. To all those who said, hey, not a whole lot of impact starters moved to the deadline, well, I give you Shane Bieber. He started game 7 and they won the pennant. So clearly some pitchers with stature and talent and the ability to win October games, they did move back at the deadline in July.
As soon as Springer made contact with that ball and like just took that big, somewhat wild swing and made the sweet spot contact, I immediately looked and I thought of Batista from a decade ago. And just, I wonder, like, is he going to have like a Jose Batista callback where he just flips the bat a half mile in the air? And he hung out to it for a moment, didn't flip it like Batista did. But I, for whatever reason, I immediately went to, wow, like, the Blue Jays have had a number of these moments over the past decade or so. And for the Toronto sports fandom between MLB and NBA, there's been a lot of cool stuff that they've experienced over the past decade. In a baseball context, JP, how do you view them just from a market perspective? That the size of markets and the expenditure for these organizations is such a topic as we get to the postseason. Where do you sort of slot Toronto in that combo?
Yeah, Anthony, it's a great question because in many ways, this is certainly in baseball a one-of-one franchise. It's the only baseball franchise that represents an entire country. And now we have, of course, the Raptors in the NBA, but that is not the case for any team in the NHL nor the NFL, where you've got one country with one professional team in that league, the highest league, and the way in which they captivate the people. We saw the Raptors do that when they won the championship somewhat surprisingly. And if I heard the point made yesterday on TSN in Canada after the game that if the Jays are able to beat the mighty Dodgers, it will be their Raptors moment. Raptors against the Warriors, a dynastic team in the similar case. Now it's an interesting parallel, but it's Toronto is a fascinating place, Anthony, because it is a big city, one of the biggest in North America, bigger than a lot of the biggest cities in our country, for sure. And when you think about from a marketing and media standpoint, there's a reason why Ohtani basically had narrowed his choices down to L.A. and Toronto. There's a lot to like about the overall market setup there in terms of your ability to market to an entire nation, different corporate partners. Of course, they're owned by a communications titan in Rogers Communications. And so when you consider the team owns the network that they play on, and also the subscriptions that you will have to watch, it's, you know, basically add in all together American telecom companies and then have them buy a baseball team. And that's what Rogers is. It is a massive corporate structure there. And they do a very good job. And they've invested a lot as well behind the scenes on making the player experience in Toronto seamless. It's interesting. There are some players that when they go through free agency, again, if you live in Florida, you live in California, it does feel a little far away. But when you're there, it's very comfortable, beautiful city to live in, clean, world-class dining. It's just a very safe city. The way that it's all laid out, they make it very easy on the players and their families. So as long as you don't mind going through customs, it's a dream to play there. And I think that has become, I think, the prevailing wisdom that if you just get the players in the door there, they're going to love it. And they've got a really good culture there. Excellent manager. And John Schneider is a really young manager. He managed Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette coming up through the minor leagues. So this has the feeling of the start of a very special window. You don't sign a player to $500 million like they did with Vlad for a 1-year wonder. The idea here is it's going to build year after year. And certainly they may have a chance to bring back some of these more veteran players that are on expiring contracts, like Bieber, like Max Scherzer, who doesn't seem to be interested at all in retiring right now. They've got a really good thing going, and it's cool to see Vladdy arrive yesterday in an Austin Matthews Maple Leaf sweater. There's a lot of support back and forth between the two teams, so it's been a pretty cool thing to be able to watch and cover it over the course of the LCS.
Yep, they're good at wooing free agents. Hell, they almost got Ohtani. That's good. Good luck, everybody, with that. That storyline over the course of the next week and a half here. But man, I'd love to see them beat the Dodgers. I'd love to see anybody beat the Dodgers. I saw $1.4 billion in the starting rotation if you count Ohtani. If you take Ohtani away, it's still $683 million in the starting rotation for the Dodgers. They can manage a different game than everybody else. It's going to be a fascinating matchup, isn't it?
It will be. And let's be honest about what this matchup is. It's big market against big market, right? I mean, these are two high payroll, large market, well-resourced teams. And I'll say this, the Dodgers have not seen a team in the National League playoffs that is as deep as the Jays. They beat two quality teams, of course, along the journey. But they're not as good as this particular group, in my opinion. And so when you consider where this is all going, I think that the Jays lineup has the best chance to be able to score more runs than the Brewers did against LA's pitching. And on the flip side, the Dodgers, you think about the Brewers pitching, and obviously Cubs fans and Chicago fans know this well. The Brewers were able to get by the Cubs having to be creative with their rotation. In four games in the NLCS, the Brewers' starting pitchers totaled fewer than 10 innings, okay? I've always said never to do math live on the air, but that's for a rough number. 10 innings divided by four games is 2.5. That is not a way to beat the Los Angeles Dodgers in a playoff series. And the Jays have, I think, a much more capable rotation. And they also have, and this is one of the most important parts of this whole series, hitters that put the ball in play. I think Buster Olney at one point in time, maybe it was during the game yesterday, pointed out that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had, to that point in the entire postseason, 6 home runs and 2 strikeouts. Vladdy is the walking antidote to the plague of strikeouts that we have seen in our game. And let's make this point out. If the Jays are able to win this, and part of it, some of the biggest swings in that series came from Andrés Giménez, came from Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Addison Barger, guys who were batting in the second half of that lineup, who had quality at bats. And Giménez, again, is not the flashiest player, but is a very good fundamental ball player. Put a bunt down yesterday to help change the game.
Mm-hmm.
If we see a little bit of a revival of that type of ball, I hope that we're going to see more teams bring in players that put the ball in play and have and work an at bat as opposed to the strikeout fest that some teams unfortunately become, especially in October.
John, we only have 30 seconds, but you mentioned Kyle Tucker. Got a feel for the market at all? I know the Dodgers, surprise, surprise, were referenced earlier this week.
Yes, how surprising is that? The Dodgers might be involved there. I think that my statement on Tucker is now what it's been for a long time, that the odds of him playing somewhere that's not Wrigley are better than 50-50. The field, I take the field over the Cubs, basically, is what I'm saying there. There are certainly clubs, whether it's the Giants, who might need a little bit more power, maybe even a team like the Mariners, for example. You see how close they got. If they're ready to invest heavily in free agency, the Yankees will be, I'm sure, a topic too, even though they seem to have good depth of their outfield. But we'll see. It's going to be a fascinating offseason ahead.
John, thanks so much, man. Appreciate you making time. Enjoy the series.
You as well, guys. Thanks so much for the conversation. Thank you.
You got it. That's John Morosi from the MLB Network, our friend here on Spiegel and Holmes. When we come back, removing distractions. Our guy Wani had a thought on such things. It's Spiegs and Ann Heron on The Score.
I don't want to dwell on politics, but I dislike the Founding Fathers immensely. They're a weird group of guys. I hate when people are like, God has never created such a great group of men as the Founding Fathers. Yeah, the 92 Bulls. The 92 Bulls.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
One thing I hear a lot of casuals say is,
yeah, that's us. We are your vehicle, baby, to get you to 6 o'clock. And then Kurt Warner is going to take over. You'll hear that whole conversation. And, man, Kurt, dispense some wisdom on us casuals. Well, not you, Ant. You're not a casual. Yeah, you know,
you speak
stuff
for yourself on that.
One thing I hear a lot of casuals say is
what? Is what, Kurt? What do we say?
Guagi.
Yeah, damn right we do. And we'll say it
your
again.
Vehicle, baby.
That's right. That's
Take
right.
Anywhere you want to go.
This Sunday, join The Score and Circa Sports Illinois at Timothy O'Toole's Pub in Gurnee. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will host our pregame show there live from 9 to noon and then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Baltimore. That's Sunday at Timothy O'Toole's in Gurnee, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. We have afternoon Wani on Thursdays. Mully and Haw, they've got morning Wani on Tuesdays. And they were talking about John Harbaugh removing distractions from the locker room as the Ravens look to bounce back from a terrible start.
Lamar Jackson did not practice yesterday. Cooper Rush is a backup. Different game if he plays. But Dave, curious what you think about this. They are 1-5. It's a desperate football team. So desperate, as it turns out, the Baltimore Sun reported that John Harbaugh removed ping pong tables, cornhole games, and any kind of distraction, video consoles, from the locker room to get his team to focus more. Did you ever do anything like that as a coach?
Wow. No, we couldn't. Nobody would give me the money unless I paid for it to put a ping pong table. Back in those days, Mully, right? You were there.
Of course.
We were lucky to have jocks and socks. You know, come on. Ping pong tables and foosball. No.
Foosball.
Yeah, right. Whatever. I couldn't even comment on that because I've never.
Would that help a team though? Can it help a team focus by you're not playing ping pong?
Oh, I think
it's more symbolic than anything,
yeah,
right?
It's symbolic.
Oh my God, I love David trying to. Hey, well, can you answer the question? No. But from personal experience, Wani doesn't have any. Because the McCaskies folks, they used to throw nickels around like they were manhole covers.
Is that what the coach said?
That's what it was always said. That goes back decades and decades and decades. That stuff that you heard Buffon talk about, that he heard from players before him. Bill George probably told Buffon that they threw nickels around like manhole covers.
That was one of my first assignments working here as a part-timer on The Score, working the Jocks and Socks show.
Yeah. Jocks and Socks.
Could barely afford Jocks and Socks in Algonquin. Yeah, man. Amazing. Amazing. Ping pong in NFL locker rooms and NBA locker rooms, that's a big deal. I once met a dude who was a trainer of basketball players who was a great ping pong player. Yeah. And he said that was because all the NBA players were playing ping pong.
Oh, okay.
And he used it as part of the training
regimen. If he was really that good, he probably called it table tennis, I would imagine.
Wow.
I think the really like elite level ping pong players, it's kind of like how I refer to karaoke as karaoke.
Yeah. I thought that was just because you're annoying.
That's pretentious.
Yeah, pretentious. Thank you, Alex.
Alex has had a lot of great uses of phrases and words throughout the day.
There's
good
Alex,
vocab day.
Man. Alex is showing his value again, calling out Ann Heron as pretentious.
Day.
It's nice when I don't have to take all the shots at the co-host. You know what I mean?
Like, so that's a wrap.
It's exhausting.
I've been wondering. You got the golden tee down there. When's Mitch going to remove that? All the distractions around here. Get you guys on top of your game.
You know? You got any table tennis skills? Any good?
Mediocre.
It's mediocre. Okay.
I see.
That's how you pronounce that. Okay. I need to challenge everybody in table tennis. I still think that I'm the best table tennis player on the score staff.
Is that what you and Marshall are going to play?
No.
You and Marshall are doing like an Olympics, basically, right? Yeah, like there's several different games.
The Olympics of big talk. So we've never actually played the game. Thank you to our guests on the show today. John Morosi was terrific. And Kurt Warner was terrific. If you miss Kurt Warner, you'll hear him in a matter of moments on
I
the
miss
score.
Kurt Warner.
I know you do, but that's just emotionally. Thank you to Alex Kuhn, who does the great job that he always does. Chris Tannehill. You know what he does?
What's
makes
that?
Us sound better than we are each and every single day. Anthony Herron, what fun, dude. Thank you so much.
What fun it is to ride.
Anthony, it was awesome. And you guys are all awesome. We thank you. Let's see if I can get this right. Thank you for listening to the Spiegel and Holmes show. We greatly appreciate it. We will try to repay that by being here tomorrow and being excellent. And we're going to be excellent tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be at the United Center. Or sorry, at United Center. Is that better, Ant? We're going to talk to Arturis Karnishevas. Yeah.
You keep saying that word.
Well,
I do not think it means what you think it means.
I do not think it means what you think. No more rhymes than I mean it. And we'll talk to Horace Grant later on in the day.
Or will it be
Harvey? Yes. We'll see.
You won't know the difference because they're identical.
After the show, I'm going to explain what fraternal twins are to Anthony. We're going to do that. And you're going to listen to Kurt Warner. Have a great evening, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Score.
Wow, this has just been such a pleasure. I'm such a lucky boy. I can't wait to go home.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.